I want you to imagine a scenario where you have an upcoming meeting or demo with a potential client. And when we think about the pre-call planning process, we usually think about things like identifying your meeting objectives, research, preparing questions, preparing talking points, perhaps some practice before the meeting. Reps neglect completely, and it absolutely costs them. In this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. All right, this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming webinar, and it's all happening this week, just a few short days from now. And it's a little something we like to call How to Rock Your Demos and Virtual Meetings. And it's going to be coming up this Thursday, and I'm going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. But if you'd like to learn more now and you're impatient like me, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rock the meeting. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today, and it's kind of a really cool concept, if you will. We're going to be talking about one specific thing during the pre-call planning process. Now, just to be very, very clear and give you some context here, a lot of the time when we're talking about pre-call planning, we assume it's for, okay, I'm going to be doing some prospecting or whatever. That's certainly one type of pre-call planning, right? Today, we're going to be talking about not so much the prospecting side of it, but when, okay, we've set up an appointment. And now we have this meeting or demo coming up. And usually, again, when we talk about that type of pre-call planning, we're usually talking about things like, okay, we need to identify and create those meeting objectives, right? You never want to have a meeting or a demo without some kind of objective or objectives, right? Plural. Certainly doing search and doing your homework, preparing some well-thought-out questions, some well-thought-out talking points. Again, maybe doing some practice, it never hurts, especially now that a lot of these meetings have gone into the virtual realm. But there is one thing that I've noticed over and over again that sales reps just completely forget about. Now, I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute, but I can tell you that a lot of sales reps, just like so many things in sales, the excuse that they give is that, well, you know, I do this step more intuitively. I really don't need to prep for it or whatever. I do it seat of your pants, which is probably not the best way. I don't know about you guys, but as bright as I'd like to think I am, as witty as I think I am, as quick as I think I am, I would like to think that I'm at my best when I actually prepare for something instead of winging it. So I'm just going to put it all out on the table now and tell you what it is. The one thing that sales reps need to do more of when it comes to prepping for a meeting is preparing evidence. Let me say it again. Preparing evidence. Now, for those of you who haven't been listening to me, or haven't, and when I mean listening to me, like do as I say, I mean listening on the podcast, those of you who haven't read my blog, and perhaps you've been spared if you haven't been listening to the podcast or reading my blog, because this concept of evidence is something that I talk about so many times. I talk about it in just about every one of the webinars that I host. In fact, I'll be talking about it in the webinar that we have coming up this week on August 12th, that whole How to Rock Your Demos and Virtual Meetings webinar. And let me define evidence for you, and then I'm going to tell you just, you know, share some examples and just offer a little bit of advice. So when we talk about evidence, the definition of evidence is those things that we're going to use to at least reduce doubt, fear, skepticism, right? And even ideally head off an objection at the best possible time. The best way to handle an objection is to avoid getting one in the first place, right? And I really believe in offering evidence proactively, not just in a reactionary type of context. So again, the definition of evidence are things that we can use, things at our disposal that we're going to use as tools to help reduce and or eliminate fear and doubt and hesitation, skepticism, and certainly objection. So I'm talking about things like having some good, solid facts prepared. I don't mean like a fax machine. It sounded like I said it. It sounded like I said that. I'm talking about like facts that you can present. And when we present facts, just like other things that I'm going to share with you, you don't just present it. You want to cite the source. Seriously, you really want to cite the source, because to me, otherwise it's like you just pulled it out of your ass, right? You have to understand that, in fact, there's been a lot of studies on this. You have to realize that whether we like this or not, I'm going to guess you don't like what I'm about to say, that the average person doesn't trust us as far as they could freaking throw us. Seriously, right? I mean, that should be no shock to you if you've been in sales more than about 60 seconds. In fact, HubSpot did a study on this, and they presented people with all these different professions. And I think it was over 97% basically found sales to be the least trustworthy profession, right? That really says something. That means like less than 3% of the population actually trusts us. So we need to not sit here and be annoyed by that or say, what the hell do they know? We're getting a bum rap here. We've got to know that going in, and we have to prepare different forms of evidence. So the first form we said, and there's a lot of different forms, I'm not going to share them all today. We said offering facts to people. We also said, we didn't say actually, we're about to say, sharing stories. I think stories are very, very important, especially now during the pandemic. By the way, they've always been important. This is how we've passed information on since the beginning of mankind. This is how a lot of people learned in the very beginning of mankind, and we continue to learn this way. And I would challenge you, right? Or I would even, you know, submit for your approval that a lot of the greatest lessons that were, you know, passed on to us came to us in story form. So preparing things like stories, analogies, examples, case studies. Now let's just do a quick timeout. What I'm talking about here is when you're going through the pre-call planning process. Now you certainly can't do this for like all your phone calls and everything like that. You could do parts of these things for that. But I'm talking about, okay, now we've got a demo booked. We've got a discovery call booked. We've got a meeting booked with that potential client. In fact, I would even say even your existing clients. We're going through a pre-call planning process with the, you know, identifying the objectives and doing research and talking points and questions and practice and all that. This has to be a part of it, that we put together, if you will, an evidence file. So we said facts, stories, analogies, examples, case studies. And there are actually several more, but I want to offer one to you that a lot of people don't think to offer. And it's really a form of evidence, and I call it providing context for people. And what I mean by that is many times we're so used to saying something, right? A feature about something or even, you know, a benefit, but we don't really drive it home and we don't help someone connect the dots to realize how awesome something is or how awesome the cost saving is or whatever. So let me give you maybe one or two examples of context that hopefully will help you out a little bit. One of my favorite examples of using context comes from Bridgestone Tires. And there's a commercial that they've done several times. And now, on one hand, they could say to you that they've built their tires to last 75,000 miles. Now, to the average salesperson, you say, holy shit, that's pretty impressive, 75,000 miles. And in and of itself, it may or may not be, right? I don't know. I guess it depends on who we're saying it to. But if you really want to drive that point home, then you do what Bridgestone Tires did. They said that they've built their tires to drive around the entire Earth 3 times. That's pretty freaking dramatic right there, right? So, in fact, that is a part of context. There are two parts of it. There is dramatize to the extreme, right? And when you're dramatizing something to the extreme, it could be things where you're maybe highlighting to them how much money they're wasting. And if we want to go to the extreme, We could go out a year, we could go out 3 to 5 years or whatever, right? Just to kind of show somebody, you know, just in a year to 3 years, you know, continuing to use the solution you're using right now, you're losing $750,000. Right? That's a lot more dramatic than doing it a different way, right? So you can dramatize to the extreme, but you could also, and this is a really old sales tactic that has been around since, you know, forever, and it's called reduce to the ridiculous. It's when you take the cost of something many times and we reduce it down to, you know, you're really talking about X amount of dollars per day. But if we use this tactic and this form of evidence of providing context so that people can really see, wow, this is incredibly inexpensive. And I'm not saying, and please do not use this example I'm about to give you. I'm providing it for illustration purposes because I am sure you've heard this one a million times. But one common example of reducing something to the ridiculous and providing that context is when you hear people talk about, you know, it would cost you less than the cost of a cup of coffee, you know, less than, on a daily basis, less than the price of a cup of coffee. And then you're like, wow. That's pretty cool, unless you're comparing it to Starbucks and you're saying, oh, wow, it's less than $27, right? But it's that context is very, very important. Another example that I found when it comes to providing context is I once read online a company was saying how quick they can implement their solution. And instead of saying something like we can implement in less than 30 minutes, which in and of itself for an implementation is pretty damn good, 30 minutes, they decided to have fun with it. And something like implementation in less time than it takes to watch a rerun of Friends. So, you know, and that's kind of a reminder in here that I just want to tell you when you're facilitating, especially your online, you know, your virtual types of meetings and demos and discovery calls, I think sometimes we forget that we're allowed to have fun. So when you're prepping for that call, I mean, definitely throw some fun in there too. Our job is not to land a gig on Comedy Central here, but to kind of change the normal trajectory, if you will, because you have a lot of these meetings just look and sound the same. And if you're a decision maker, certainly C-level, and you look at how many meetings these people are having just on a daily basis, the odds are kind of against us in the standing apart category. I think a lot of the time, at the end of the day, everybody just kind of globs and blends together, right, into just one big disaster. So we want to be memorable, and adding a little bit of fun and excitement to it can certainly do that. But I can tell you, if you actually bring evidence to the meeting, you're going to be answering a really important question that these decision makers have. And the way I was taught about evidence back when I worked for Dale Carnegie was, you kind of ask yourself the question that they're kind of mulling over, but they're going to have a different version of this question, right? But you want to answer the question, well, you know, who says so besides me, right? They're going to be asking, well, you know, who says so besides yourself? I mean, I don't know if you've ever had anybody say this to in the early days of my sales career. I remember, you know, a few times hearing, well, you know, you're paid to say good shit about your company, right? So what we want to do is provide that evidence to put them at ease. And I really believe now more than ever, it's important. I think it's critical to the success of your meeting when you have the evidence, because they're very fearful right now. And they might not be as quick to pull the trigger. They can't afford to make a mistake. So we want to put them at ease. So here's your assignment, and this is what I think you should do as a result of this. And again, hopefully you don't listen to these podcasts for just entertainment or something that's on in the background or whatever. I hope that you truly take action, because it's, you know, just consuming information is never going to help you. It's just going to get stored away with all the other things you meant to do something with. You should always have some kind of an action step. So I want to help you in that department. As far as an assignment goes, I want you to start creating an evidence file. I want you to think about, okay, what kind of facts could I offer, and stories, analogies, examples, case studies? How can I, you know, leverage this concept of context that Paul was talking about? Even things like testimonials. And there's actually more to this, which we'll get to in a minute, but I want you to create an evidence file. Then, what I want you to do when you have an upcoming meeting, I want you to almost imagine that you're a contractor going to a site to do some work. And the very first thing you do is you go to your tool shed to select the tools that are appropriate for that job. So what you're going to do is go to the evidence file. And yeah, it never hurts to have all of these things at your disposal, but perhaps each particular deal and the research that you've done coming up on the meeting and all will say to you, oh, wow, you know, this is, you know, for example, I mean, I do work in software and printing and a number of other industries. And let's just say I have a meeting coming up in the printing industry. Well, then, you know what? I mean, I probably should come prepared with a case study of one of the numerous companies I've helped within the printing industry, right? Wouldn't that help? That could be awesome. So that's what I want you to do. Again, imagine almost like you're a contractor. You go into the tool shed, except here you're going to the evidence file and say, okay, specifically, what are some things that I need to bring there? And when you're doing your pre-call planning and you're thinking about things like, all right, here's some questions and here's some talking points I want to touch on. When you're doing the talking points, that's a great time to back it up with evidence. And you can't do that unless you prepare your evidence file. So that's something pretty cool that you can do. But now there's one more thing that you can do with evidence that I can pretty much tell you absolutely none of your competitors are doing. Remember, we're playing a game right now where we have to stand out, especially if you're in an industry that's flooded with competition, like yours truly here, being, you know, a sales coach and being a sales trainer and a speaker. Oh my God, there is more just in the U.S. than we know what to do with, right? So how the heck can I differentiate? Well, this is one of many ways. So if you'd like to learn what that thing is that you can do with the evidence that's going to help you stand apart and really help you drive your points home, that one is going to cost you, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not going to break the bank. That one I'm going to be talking all about, along with, I don't know, probably about 20 other tips in the upcoming webinar we have, How to Rock Your Demos in Virtual Meetings. It's coming up this Thursday, August 12th. We're going to be doing this from 11:30 a.m. until 12:45 Eastern Time. If you'd like to learn more, now is the time. We're going to be closing out registration shortly. I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthemeeting. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockthemeeting. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.